One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. You know, just reading that first section, there's a massive history there that we need to pick up on. There's a massive story being told about this man. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. And when the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So I want to just focus your minds on the story of this man. He is somebody who's crippled from birth, and he can't even get to be at the temple. He has to have some people get him there. We don't know how that happened. It could have been 4, I guess, if they were taking him laterally, horizontally, lying down. It could have been 2, 1 on each shoulder. But he had no strength at all or ability to walk. And there's a story here, isn't there? And it's a story that's not uncommon, even for us, for anybody today in 2016. There's a story, because this man is carrying the wounds and the baggage of the past. We don't know how long, I guess, he's been like this, except it says it's from birth. And he would have known, therefore, really, whatever age it is that as a baby you start to realize that you're not completely, perhaps, whole, you start and you have a disability, you start to realize that there is something different, you cannot walk, and you begin to be different. And people start to treat you differently. That's true, isn't it? I mean, we're very good in our world today. You know, we've had to learn, particularly in the last 30, 40 years. It wasn't so when the bulk of us were growing up. There were all kinds of horrible slang and names for people who weren't able. And that's a small generation ago. And if you put this into, therefore, the sort of the age, that would have been completely true for this person. Oh, he's incapable. He's hopeless. He's never going to earn anything. Imagine as that child grew up, probably by his parents, he would have been set aside. He's never going to earn anything. What use is he? We don't have the story there, but what might have been, if there had been a family, how that would have been responded by brothers and sisters, or by mums and dads. Maybe there was some rejection there. Oh, you know, rejected from birth. Well, I'll never be any good. So he was maybe put out on the street very, very quickly. And all of that stuff building up inside, from the moment he realized he was disabled, there is inside the spirit a sense of rejection. I'm rejected. I am no use to anyone. I am therefore of no value. It's not true, is it? Sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. That person was a liar. It's not true. Those words actually go right to the spirit. And this person, I reckon, as sure as anything else, would have been carrying that. A strong sense of rejection. A strong sense of therefore not being of any value. What can I do? We know from the scripture that he has no earning capacity. I want to suggest also that there was a certain sense of cynicism in him. We can probably guarantee that. A sense of, well, you know, just get through today. And anything positive that might have been said by a kind person going by, I'm just interested in your money. We get that, don't we? We don't often see it in Wellington, though I, strange enough, every time I go down to the supermarket and see the person begging there, I think this scripture goes through my head. Because actually I never have any money in my pockets. That is the honest truth. I get it out of the bank Monday morning, and by Wednesday it's kind of, I've emptied it out to all the kids from pocket, you know, lunches, this kind of thing. I think, well, never mind. So I never have any money. So whenever I go down to the supermarket, I think, I actually haven't got anything to give you. But what would that be like if we said to that person, well, I don't have any gold, but in the name of Jesus, outside of Co-op, get up and walk. What would that be like? So in this person, this man, there would be a strong sense of cynicism, even towards God. We would probably guess that he's come from a Jewish background, a religious background. Maybe he would have heard the Jewish Torah read, or the strong sense of what God was like. But he would have reacted cynically to that. Why was I born like this, God? God, tell me the answers. I'm going to need a bit of water or something, sorry. Why was I born like this? You know, sometimes, for example, when I take funerals, and they're funerals that have been, where there's been a difficult death, I desperately want to say that funerals need to be a place of honesty. And there need to be difficult questions answered. And there are difficult questions here in this person's heart. God bless you. Because he's wanting to say, thank you, bless you, Tracy. Why, God, did you make me like this? Of all the people that are born every day, why couldn't you have chosen someone else? So there would be cynicism towards God. And therefore, no sense of expectation that he's ever going to break out of this place. All he could therefore see himself doing is surviving one day. No more. There's no expectation to get past the week. It's simply that if I get in this place, and therefore it's the best place to be, I might just get past the day. There's an irony here. He's parked himself outside the temple. He could have gone down the supermarket or the market. A lot of money going there. But he parks himself near to the religious people, the people who have the money. Here, perhaps, he'll get a better deal. You and I have been through the tube station, haven't you? And you know what the in phrase is? Got any spare change? Got any spare change? Last Sunday, yeah, probably last Sunday about 2 o'clock, Reuben and I were just coming away from our house in Portland. We were just coming up to get into the car, and these two people came down the road. He said, you're not going to Weymouth, are you? I said, yeah. Can we have a lift? Yeah, okay. That's no problem. Of course we'll give you a lift. I said, just got to do something down the bottom of the house. I'll see you down at the bus stop. And I bet he thought at that moment, cynically, probably won't stop at the bus stop. But we did, and we picked him up. It was a young boy, aged about 18, and a girl, his girlfriend, similar age. So, I get talking. Transpires, he's homeless. We're both homeless. I said, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go in Weymouth? Well, we'll try and find somewhere to get our head down. I said, well, what's your story then? Tell me, why are you homeless? Well, because I got laid off by my boss. How come? Well, he says, I have fits. I have a continued condition where I have fits. They come on, epileptic fits. And my boss said that he couldn't take the risk anymore of having me around on the site, so you had to go. He was a skilled guy. He had a trade. He could no longer afford, therefore, to sustain himself. So I said, well, are you going to go to the doctor? Try and get some change of medication? Yeah, but I've done that, but they're actually, the fits are increasing. So I don't know what I'm going to do now, but we'll just see if we can get our head down tonight somewhere in Weymouth. And then I said, well, what about the future? What are you going to do? Well, I've got to have some more scans. Yeah, I said, I think that's probably a good idea. And then as we came closer to Weymouth, I thought, well, I've got a fiver in my wallet and I've got a couple of quid, rare moment, in my pocket. We'll rustle that together. So we parked up in Weymouth. I said, look, this is all I got. Go and get yourself a meal for tonight. And your heart is doing, what can I do? What can I do to change this situation? We phone up my mum. Do you know of a hostel in Weymouth? No, there's nothing here in Weymouth. So we left them. And the sense of hopeless despair for this guy and for his girlfriend is the same sense of hopeless despair, if not more, in this man at the gate. And then some things happen. And some things happen here. Along come Peter and John. They're on the way to go to church. And like, I suppose, all in full-time Christian ministry, they just head out, they don't take any money with them, and they simply want to worship God. And they're not really out there prowling looking for people to pray for. But their attention is taken by this guy. Got any spare change, please? Got any spare change? And then it's at that moment that God, through Peter and John, does something quite miraculous, where the whole of heaven and earth comes together. I haven't got any gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabs him by the hand. I want to suggest to you that all of the years of cynicism, all of the years of rejection, all of the years of being at the bottom of the pile is suddenly picked up by God, and healing and wholeness comes to this man in a miraculous way. I don't know how that works, except God does that. In fact, I need to be honest with you, I have not seen that kind of thing happen. But I know God can do it. And this morning, all I want to just say, therefore, is this simply. You and I, in some respects, are very different from this man. Most of us here are probably able to walk today. Most of us are fairly gainfully employed. But we are like this man in the sense that most of us have carried with us the experiences of childhood and the experiences of growing up with rejection, with cynicism, with disappointments, perhaps even, yes, with physical struggles. Most of us have carried something or other, which I'd like to suggest, just like this man, we could be still carrying today. So here we are, Wellington Baptist Church. We arrive here at this service, and I want to ask you what you're carrying. I've said before, in years past, some of us even actually enjoy carrying it. We've got so used to it that we're comfortable with it. Perhaps this man had got so used to it that he was comfortable with it. But Peter and John commanded this man to get up. And for a flash and a moment, heaven came to earth and he could walk. So this morning, I want to just ask you whether you're willing to receive from God. Whether you're willing to bring whatever's personal, whatever's quiet, whatever's just with you and God to him and say, God, if you're there, set me free. And that's it. So we're going to have some prayer opportunities around the worship center. Those of you who know who you are, I'm going to invite you to, as they say in school, find a space and fill it. And then you're going to pray for each other. So let's just do that now. And then we're going to give the opportunity for you to receive prayer. I say this also, you never lose out from God. You never lose out with God. Even if you think, well, I've got my right foot, my left foot, my right arm, my right hand, and my head's here, and I'm okay, a bit like Adrian Plass, both legs are the same length, I don't need to have prayer. No. It's the opportunity is for you to receive wholeness and to let go of the past. So let's just be quiet. These couples are just going to pray for each other now, praying for each other so that they'll be ready to pray for you. And then we're going to invite you to come forward. Come, Holy Spirit, into our worship center now. Come and have your freedom to minister to us. Nobody here claims that they have anything other than simply God. May your Spirit do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. There's a place at the back. There's a place to your left. There's a place to your right. If you'd like to receive prayer ministry, now's the time for you to come forward.